It's time once again to step out, step up, and step into the Coming Out Lounge, a safe space to be you and your truth with Coming Out Coach Rick Clemons. Rick's expertise in the coming out process has helped hundreds of men and women ignite their inner desires to powerfully step out of the closet and into the light of living authentically as gays and lesbians. Freeing you from the feelings of guilt or shame, Rick offers take action tips for basking in the glow of self-love, easy to implement tools for wrapping yourself up in the warm embrace of self-acceptance, and take it to the bank advice on how to step courageously into a powerful, purpose-filled life on the other side of the closet doors. Each week, the Coming Out Lounge brings you heartwarming coming out stories, insights for living authentically as a gay or lesbian, and challenges you to step out of the ordinary and into your extraordinary life. Pull up a chair, cuddle up with the truth of who you've always been, and let's spend an hour in the Coming Out Lounge, discovering how to energetically step out, step up, and step into living your truth. Here's the host of your show, Coming Out Coach Rick.
Hello there, Closet Busters. It is time once again to stop the closet dwelling and to step out, step up, and step into living your powerful truth. Now, I've got to be really honest with you. I am so stoked, excited, and I've been actually tingling with anticipation about this episode of the Coming Out Lounge for about the last month, because we're going to talk about some new cravings and stuff that help us get through these closet doors that we walk through. But before we go there, I want to tell you a little bit about a change to the format of the show. Starting with today's show, we are going to take it to a 30-minute gig, simply because I think a lot of you are probably trying to listen to this when you're on the train, driving in your cars, however you're getting, wherever you're going. Maybe you're in between classes, and I wanted to tighten this up so you can get your dose of the Coming Out Lounge and get on with doing what you need to do most, which is living your most authentic life. Let's get ready to go here. I'm bringing on a really wonderful, beautiful, powerful woman that I actually hooked up with at a adult summer camp last summer. Not really. We did hook up, but she's straight and I'm gay. And I went to one of her workshops and she was talking about cravings, and it really piqued my interest. And now she is taking the world by storm once again. She's my friend Alexander Jameson. She is the co-creator and the co-star of the award-winning documentary Super Size Me. And she's also a functional nutrition coach. I'm going to let her kind of explain that, because I'll probably just flub it up and step all over my words trying to explain it. But what I love about her is she helps us look at these cravings, our cravings for food, for sex, for sleep, anything you can think about that truly, truly helps us dive into living a healthier and more fuller life. Now, she's not just somebody who just stepped into this and said, oh, I'm going to do this one day. Oh, no. What I love about Alexandra is she actually went through some of these battles herself. She battled weight and health problems. She battled food addictions. And she came out the other side listening to her cravings and stepping into her most powerful self. She just recently released her book, Women, Food, and Desire, in January, and I'm very honored to have her on the show because she just came off of appearances on the Today Show, Dr. Oz. She's been featured in Elle and Oprah magazine, and just recently More magazine named her book, Women, Food, and Desire, Book of the Month. Welcome to the show, Alexandra Jameson.
Hey, thank you. You know, we did hook up. We hooked up emotionally, I feel like, you and I, hanging out at camp this summer.
We sure did. And for those of you, we're going to give you a little preface of what the camp was. It was called the Good Life Project Camp. Jonathan Fields, who is a mutual friend of ours, is the leader of that camp. And it was really a camp for adults. And it was entrepreneurs, people who are visionaries out there ready to go make the world a better place. And Alexandra's workshop was just phenomenal. And I'm going to let her kind of tell you about this cravings thing, and then we'll set the tone for how this works into this Coming Out Lounge world of us stepping out of our closets. So talk about the cravings we have as human beings, Alexandra, and how we should really tune into those.
Yeah, cravings are what make us human. We want, we desire, we go for things. And a lot of us have a very tangled up and evil and good relationship with our cravings. And I see cravings that we think of on a, you know, we think of cravings as something that our body wants. We tend to think of cravings as something we want to eat that's usually not good for us. Well, I see cravings as really the whole host of human options and possibilities But yeah, we crave a lot of foods, and sometimes that gets us into health trouble or keeps us from going for the other things that we desire in our life. But I think cravings on a physical level are really your body's way of communicating with you about what you want or what you don't want.
Absolutely. And I want to make sure we're really clear about this as we're talking through this today, that this craving isn't about, oh, I crave to be, you know, a homosexual or a lesbian or a bisexual or a transgender. It's not that kind of craving, because this is just part of who we are. But what we're talking about is those cravings that emotionally tie us into different things that often lead us to food addictions, not thinking we're pretty enough, well-built enough, whatever it may be. So I love that this cravings piece is about, as you said, Alexander, being human. So when someone is, you know, having a craving, you know, we all get the craving for, you know, maybe a soda or coffee or whatever it is in our lives. But what would be your advice for really tuning into that craving so that we come to a very beautiful place with it?
Well, I see cravings as your soul's to-do list, because...
That is powerful. If I was Oprah right now, I'd say, okay, that's a tweet. That's a tweet. Everybody tweet that one. It's your...
Yeah,
go ahead and say that one again. I love it.
Yeah. Cravings are your soul's to-do list.
Awesome.
Your body speaks to you through lots of different symptoms and lots of different sensations. And, you know, what so many of us have been in a struggle with our body and what it's telling us we want. And that can be food. It can be different sexual partners. It can be creative endeavors or our career path. You know, our body knows. Our body never lies about what's right or wrong for us. Mm-hmm. But we've grown up in a culture which has so many layers of shame and should when it comes to what is right in quotes, for our body or for our lives, that we've never gotten the education about what it means to listen to your body and its sensations and cravings. Or we've been trained out of it, because as a young child, we knew what we wanted on a very, you know, intuitive level. But again, we've been told and kind of brainwashed about what's right or appropriate for us.
Absolutely. And I think this is where one of the connection points begins, because when you and I were shooting emails back and forth pre-show, you said you wanted to wire this all together. And I think this is where the craving gets wired to what we've been told we can't have, or we can't be, or we can't do. And this is where the alignment comes with coming out of the closet. We've been told we can't be gay or lesbian or bisexual or transgender, which on the same level, it's no, you can't eat chocolate, you can't eat meat, you can't eat, drink sodas, you can't have alcohol, whatever this is. And again, we're not advocating anything specifically here, but what we're saying is really dial in and listen to the cravings. It's that internal, I call it my internal diva who talks to me and tells me the way it's going to be, and I tend to not listen to her, but it's really about listening to our intuition. And now you're taking it to the level of not only intuitively from our spirit and our soul, but also our bodies talking to us on a regular basis.
Our bodies are always talking to us, and they're so amazing. You know, the fact that they maintain our body temperature, you know, right around 97, 99 degrees, somewhere in there. You know, our digestion works, our lungs are breathing without us even thinking about it. So I love to point out and help people reconnect with the fact that your body is this incredible machine that is capable of so much. And we tend to really beat the crap out of ourselves emotionally.
especially when we're in these stressful places. And if I remember right, you've kind of gone through some pretty stressful things in your life. I think you went through a divorce and things such as that, right?
Yeah. You know, I became a functional nutrition coach 15 years ago when I discovered that food was what was making me sick, causing my migraine headaches, causing my joint pain, causing the overweight that I couldn't get rid of. I went back to culinary school. I went to a health and nutrition training program. And then I met this guy named Morgan, and we started dating, and we came up with the idea for Super Size Me together. And at that time, I was vegan. Mm-hmm. And when the movie came out, the movie was like a global sensation. We traveled to over 24 countries, and I became a professional vegan.
Right.
I became like one of the experts. I wrote 3 cookbooks on vegan cooking. And that diet worked really well for me, and it helped me heal my body back when I was 25.
Right on.
Well, flash forward another 10 years, I'm now getting divorced from Morgan. I have a little son that I'm taking care of on my own part-time. And my hormones are, you know, when you age, your body changes. You know, things just change.
Yep.
And my hormones were changing. And my libido had been dead for several years. You know, at the end of a marriage, things tend to go south. And I was totally disconnected from my libido and my sexual desires. And I started craving meat. This was bad. This was not part of the vegan program that I had set up for myself.
And I'm going to clarify something here for those of you that already went to that potty mouth place and, you know, that kinky space in your head. She wasn't just craving man meat. She was craving meat, the red stuff, the meat that really fills you up and makes you feel whole, right?
But, Rick, I wanted to call my book Men and Meatballs.
Yeah.
Because craving men and meat.
Yeah, exactly.
I finally started listening to my body and giving myself the food that I was craving, which was meat, which I thought was bad.
Mm-hmm.
But I finally said, you know what? Nothing else is healing my hormones. I need to try this. I finally started eating meat. My hormones came back online and my libido came back.
Wow.
And I hadn't had sex in years. So I started dating everyone. I mean, over 100 first dates in a year and a half.
Wow, that's amazing. It
was a wild ride. I was dating like it was my job. And it was this liberating period in my life where I was eating anything and everything and just seeing, well, how does this feel to eat? How does my body do when I eat like this? Just exploring again. And how does this person feel? And what is that kind of guy like? You know, just really opening myself up to exploration and feeling what these different experiments were doing for me.
Absolutely.
So that's what people do.
It's really interesting that you bring this up because I worked with a guy about 3 years ago in my practice who was very, very sexual. He was man whore. Look it up in the dictionary. There was his picture, right? And he was really struggling with this because he just really enjoyed having sex. And he was at the gay bathhouses all the time and everything. And he finally came to me and we started working together. And he goes, I want to take this out of my life. I'm like, okay, so let's first get to the why. Let's understand why this is important to you. And then let's decide what's the best tactic for you. And this is what's crucial. And I think Alexander's going to back me up on this when we talk about cravings and food and getting through stuff. What works for you is what works for you. Not what's going to work for everybody is not always going to work for you. And so he tried to back off. He really tried to back off. And he really struggled. And we went through this for about 3 weeks. And then in his next session, I said, okay, you're feeling like a failure. You've already told me that. I said, what if you quit denying your craving? What if you quit denying your craving for sex and just embraced, fully embraced that you're a sexual being and that you enjoy sex and that you're going to give yourself permission to have sex? And the amazing thing that started to happen for him after that session was he started having sex when he wanted to, not out of a sexual addiction perspective or a crazy desire of whatever. He started really giving himself permission because he allowed the craving to work with him and for him. And I think that's exactly your message, isn't it, Alexandra?
It is, absolutely. I mean, we have so many shoulds and shame going on with our body, whether it's food or sex. Those are the two things I love to talk about most, because honestly, food and sex are two of the best things about being a human being.
Absolutely.
Right?
Yep. High five to that one. And that's why we connected. We started having this very similar conversation at camp about, you know, it's so interesting how those two things really do connect. And it's amazing how we as a human culture have put both of those things, sex and food, into this lovely bucket called shame.
Yes. Yeah. And what I see for the women that I work with mainly women. I work with awesome dudes every once in a while too. But they come to me and I start asking them about their early history. What's your earliest relationship with your body?
Yep.
What's your earliest memory with food? And most of the time they tell me about starting to feel their pleasure in their body. They start experimenting, touching themselves, or they have a crush on so-and-so and they play doctor together or whatever. And then they get the hammer from the adult culture around them that's bad and you shouldn't do that with your body. And that pleasurable stuff that you like, not good for you. And it's dangerous. In fact, it's dangerous and so scary. It's like sex in our culture is coded as dangerous and life-threatening, mm-hmm. especially to little girls.
Yep.
It's like, you're going to get in trouble. If you get raped, it's your fault. You were asking for it. And then you'll be ostracized. And being ostracized is like death for a human being.
And I love this because this is exactly, and I'm going to kind of take it, and I know you're not a lesbian. I already explained that to everybody when I was talking about this earlier. But here's the thing. What you're describing, Alexandra, is exactly what any woman goes through. But then now layer into that the whole lesbian stigmatism. And you got it like a double whammy. And I know this happens to women all over the world because women become just this product. They're just to be used. And then you get these mixed messages of you're a little girl and you enjoy yourself. And then suddenly, oh, no, you can't do that because you're a woman. So I love that this is the realm you're talking about right now because it leads to the shame, whether it's food or sex. And then suddenly here are all these beautiful women walking around the world in shame.
Yeah, absolutely. And if sex is shameful and scary, then food becomes safe sex to us.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And because we, as humans, I mean, you know, I'm going to get a little graphic here on you, but us humans, it's pleasurable to put things inside of our bodies.
Yep.
In some way or another.
Absolutely.
So if we're not getting it from another human being because that's too scary, we're going to do it with food. And then, oh, by the way, don't be fat.
Mm-hmm.
So can't have sex, don't be fat. You know, it's like, it's too much for any human being to consciously handle as a growing person.
Absolutely. And I like this because you just recently wrote an article that I want to touch on because I think this happens predominantly in anybody who's got a healthy sex life and a healthy sexual perspective about self. But you just wrote an article about masturbation, and I know it was a biggie. But I loved to kind of have you give the encapsulated, you know, content of that article because I think this is, again, one of those shameful, guilty, pleasure sort of things that society has put like the kibosh on. Yet, if you're a sexual being and you're healthy about it and it's something you crave, this is something that actually can make you and help you just be stronger, more empowered, more in your life. And, you know, there's a lot of talk about consciousness. This is about helping you get to all those places. So let's talk about masturbation. I mean, I think this is like a really powerful one for gays, lesbians, anyone who's out there in the world. So
absolutely.
Take it away, girlfriend.
I talk in my book, Women, Food, and Desire, about several clients that I've worked with who I have ended up taking them to Babeland, to the actual store, you know, a clean, well-lit place for sex toys.
Yep.
That they were suffering from all this digestive trouble, you know, stomach bloating that they just couldn't get a handle on no matter what we changed their diet into. I just want a flatter tummy, you know, I just can't get a handle on this belly fat. And, oh, by the way, I'm not dating and I haven't had sex in years and I don't masturbate.
Mm.
I'm like, look, there's so much happening in our body, in that place between our belly button and our pubis bone.
Yep.
That... Yep. It's our digestion, it's our reproductive organs, it's our intuition. You know, our gut is our second brain, it's our intuitive brain. So all those things are happening in the same place. And if we never have any real pleasure besides food in that zone, we're never going to get out of the emotional eating habits or overeating when we zone out. So I take them and I'm like, hey, we got to go get you a vibrator. Mm-hmm. We got to get you... you know, pleasuring yourself, playing, enjoying your body on a regular basis so that you have the experience of wellness and real fun in that part of your body. And when you start to like your body because it brings you so much pleasure without food, then food doesn't become the only path, right?
Right, absolutely. And I think this is where, you know, we in the gay and lesbian culture, but I'm going to go specifically to the gay male culture. We get so stigmatized for being, oh, they're just a bunch of crazy men who just want to have sex all the time. Ironically, we do enjoy sex. Okay. But the thing is most of us in the healthy sexual arena are having regular sex because it's part of who we are and we're not bottling up inside. It's not becoming part of that bottled up mentality. And I've worked with a client a couple of weeks ago who he was very bottled up. And I actually said to him, when's the last time you had sex, man? Oh, I haven't had sex in like 6 months. I said, you need to go have some sex. I said, when's the last time you masturbated? Oh, I don't know, maybe a month ago. I said, you need to jerk off, man. Literally, you need to do this. Because what you're bottling up is causing you to bottle up. And he actually said, and I'm putting on some weight. I said, yeah, because you're bottling everything up. I said, trust me, go have some sex, jerk off, masturbate. And then eat some really healthy foods. And I'm in, you know, my background's in nutrition too, but I don't, this isn't what I do. But I thought, eat some really good food and get some of that sexual energy out of you and then do some simple walks or something. You're going to see your whole world begin to change. Everything will begin to change.
Absolutely. And for women specifically, you know, when we orgasm, especially one of those nice prolonged orgasms,
yep.
It rebalances our hormones. Mm-hmm. And I know it does for men as well, but women especially, if they, I feel like women have a tendency to deny themselves sexual pleasure or don't masturbate because it's not as much a part of female culture as it is for dudes.
Absolutely.
So if you're experiencing like lots of mental frustration, crazy moods all over the place, mood swings, depression, anxiety, masturbation, is actually a wonderful way to reset your hormones. And it's part of any good health plan is healthy sexual exploration.
Absolutely. So let's talk about women and food a little bit, because I know there's this, you know, horrible relationship for many women with food. But when you're in crisis, so like coming out, when you're coming through those doorways or you're considering coming through those doorways, and I know it's very individual, but I know you'll come up with some really good tips here. What should, you know, women and men too, but I want to deal with the women because this is your specialty. What should be some of the really powerful foods they might consider trying to consume and have a relationship with when they're in a big life-changing crisis like coming out of the closet?
Yeah, that's great. So, the first thing I want to say to anyone who's listening or who's been through, I've certainly experienced my fair share of trauma, and I know that food is actually not one of the worst coping mechanisms to help you get through a rough time.
Absolutely.
You know, there was a time when my relationship was falling apart when I was really lonely, and loneliness lights up the same part of the brain that lights up when we feel physical pain. Mm-hmm. So loneliness is actually really painful. And of course, our bodies are just trying to help us manage that. So I like to joke that I was having a threesome every night on the couch with Ben and Jerry's, you know, that they were my ice cream boyfriends for a little while to help me get through. But it came to a point where I realized that the sugar, especially, I'm not so worried about the fat, whatever, fat's right. Good for you, right. Fat's fine. But the sugar especially was starting to get me back into that downward spiral health-wise. The headaches, the exhaustion, those things were coming back. So I started focusing on foods that had the taste and texture that I craved, but were actually going to be enlivening for me and help me be resilient as I went through this. You know, I think post-traumatic growth
Yep.
is always my goal, and it's possible for anyone to learn the tools to help you grow and flourish after trauma. And part of that is learning to eat the foods that give you the taste and the texture that you want that feel really yummy and good,
yep.
but aren't going to take you down that spiral. So for me, it was creamy, sweet things and then crunchy, salty things. It was those two things.
I started
making lots of sweet potato things.
Mm.
And I would just, you know, bake some sweet potatoes for dinner. Actually having your carbs, your healthy carbs at night is really helpful for sleep because it boosts your serotonin at night and then you ease into sleep better. And I've definitely had bouts of insomnia. So highly recommend avoiding the simple carbs and leaving the healthy carbs for later in the day. And having those big, huge sweet potato with your dinner, it's so creamy and yummy and sweet. And you can have another one that you use for leftovers. Throw it in the Cuisinart with like a tiny bit of maple syrup and some vanilla extract and whip it up into like a pudding, like a sweet potato pudding.
Okay, you're making me hungry here. So, but I like what you said because you actually talked to me about this when we did a couple of our sessions where I was on a regime of doing a lot of protein drinks and doing a lot of smoothies. And what I was missing was the texture. I was missing the crunchy, the all that stuff. And it's amazing when you realize that's the missing piece, that things began to change. So I'm not doing as much of the protein regime anymore. I still have some smoothies, my green smoothies, you know, one a day. But as soon as I have the green smoothie, I'm eating like a handful of almonds right along with it because that gives me the crunch and the texture. And man, I can sail through my morning. I mean, I had one this morning and I'm working through it. And I know that I'll get to lunchtime and I'll be just fine. So it's really about tuning into that stuff. And I love the sweet potato, tip here because A, I love the sweet potatoes, but it is about putting those carbs in at just the right time. And because when you're coming through those closet doors, as anybody who's listening who may be struggling with it or been through it or in the midst of it, you are going to have some very, very sleepless nights. And don't deny that you won't. In fact, here's the coming out coach stepping in to say, guess what? Don't deny that you're going to have a tough time because you will. It's going to happen no matter how loving and warm and embracing family may be or friends. There's still going to be some tough times, whether it's in the moment or years ahead. So these kind of tips like Alexandra is handing out are really good about what to eat, when to eat. So I want to get one last thing in here before we wrap it up for today. And I could talk to you for hours because I think your stuff is just phenomenal and the way you approach life. But if someone is truly, truly struggling with this body shame thing, how can you link some of the body shame to the kind of relationship they're having with food? Is there like a quick tip you could throw out about that?
You know, I would say, A, don't try to do it alone.
Yep.
You know, get a coach, get a group of friends, because pulling this stuff, it's so hard to see what's on the label when you're stuck inside the jar, you know?
Absolutely.
You can't, you're so overwhelmed that it's really impossible for your brain to make strategy or set goals or find your way out of it. So don't try to do it alone. And I actually just saw a great documentary I would love to promote.
Oh, please, go ahead.
Inside Her Sex. And it follows Candida Royale, who was one of like the big 70s porn stars, and this sex blogger from up in San Francisco, talking about women's sexuality and body shame. And I was just really impressed. You could have inserted food for sex in so many of the conversations that they had around, like, you know, getting right with who they were. Yeah. And finally expressing themselves and finding the community and the support that they needed. And for some of us, it's a lifelong journey. And I just say, you know, find your tribe, you know, find your new family, find your family of friends out there that's going to support you through this, because nobody gets out unscathed, but nobody goes through it alone.
Absolutely. And I love that, because that is one of the key elements that I stand on when I'm working with people who are coming through the doors. It is find your tribe and stick with them, because they're going to be your best allies. They're going to be your best support system, and nobody has to do any of this alone. And speaking of not doing this alone, I want to really tell you that I've worked with Allison a couple of times, I mean, Alexander, and it is phenomenal what she can do in a very short time. And so I want to give you time to promote yourself now and talk about where people can find you. So what's your website?
Great. They can go to alexandrajamison.com, or I got a really cool cravings type quiz. You know, the crunchy, salty, sweet stuff that we were talking about, like, those mean something. And I've got a really great quiz. You can go to cravingsquiz.com and get your cravings type and a whole report that tells you more about it. And of course, there's Women, Food, and Desire, the book.
Of course.
I would love for people to get that. And that's womenfoodanddesire.com.
Awesome. And then you also have your own podcast. So talk a little bit about that one.
I do. It's called The Crave Cast, and we talk all about cravings. Some of my clients have called me the cravings whisperer. So it's about all the things that we crave and desire. We talk about food and nutrition. We talk about sex. We talk about creativity. We talk about life and flourishing and positive psychology. So a whole variety of things, great guests, and some monologues from me here and there.
Absolutely. So I hope everyone got something from this time we spent with Alexandra today. I know I did, and I love her dearly for taking time out of her busy schedule to be here with us. And the thing that I love most about her being here today is she personifies what it really means to come out of your own closet and step into your truth, because she's been through this in her own way, and it truly shows the power of taking that step to say, this is who I am and this is who I'm supposed to be in my truth. So it's just a pleasure to have had you on the show today, Alexandra. And I know we're going to have you again on the Just Be You Revolution show, coming from a little bit different angle. But I have one last quick question before we sign it off. So if you could give the listeners, especially the women listeners, one really powerful piece of advice that, like, you always hand out to everybody you're working with, what would it be?
My advice would be to slow down, especially when eating or getting reacquainted with your body in any way, whether that's through new movement or sexual rediscovery. Slow down. You can either be stressed or you can digest, but you can't do the two things at one time. So slow it down, take some deep breaths, allow yourself to settle in and just experience your body again.
I think that's really great advice, because that's actually something I say to my coming out clients. I said, you just need to slow down. You don't have to come out to everybody at one time. You don't have to come out to all these people at work. You don't have to do it with all your friends. Take your time and do it your way. So great advice. And I love the stressed and digest. That's another tweet moment right there. So, well, excellent. So again, Alexandra, thanks for being here. And thanks for everyone for showing up for the Coming Out Lounge. In the coming weeks, we're going to be talking about dating. We're going to be talking about getting married when you've been together for a long time, like me and my husband have. And why would you do it? Why you wouldn't do it? We're also going to be bringing on another one of my Good Life Project peeps, who's going to talk about some positive psychology stuff. And as always, don't forget to go on over to iTunes. Give us some big Coming Out Lounge love. Give us a rating and review if you like us. And if you don't like us, then just ignore what I just said. I don't want you going over there and giving me any negativity. Of course, I'm just kidding. But anyway, again, thanks for being here. And everyone, go out and step up, step out, and step into living your most authentic truth. Thanks for being here, and have a powerful day.
Thank you for joining us today with the Coming Out Lounge with your host, Rick Clements. Make sure you tune in with us next week, same time, same place, for the Coming Out Lounge.